Benfica Podcast is one of the founding members of Benfica Independent. Benfica Independent is an independent platform made by fans for fans. And in it, you can find our podcast, along with many other podcasts, along with articles of opinion, video segments, and much, much more. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/Benfica Independent, with exclusive contents for our patrons.
Hasta que no estás aquí dentro no sabes la grandeza de este equipo. Sí, es un club que tiene una grandeza que no se comprende si no estás aquí dentro.
Son de una magia única, benfiquista, que solo nosotros sentimos así. Por muchos desgostos que possamos tener, valores más altos se levantan. O valor mais alto que se levanta em termos futebolísticos chama-se Benfica.
Quero o Benfica intimidar o adversário. Quero o manto sagrado entrar com vocês em qualquer estado e assustá-los, pá! É isso que eu quero!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Talking to the Law Benfica Podcast. And what could be more typical of Benfica Podcast than to not start on time and then have people in the wrong room as we start the stream? What's going on, everybody? Welcome, everybody. If you guys are listening to us, please let us know how the sound is, if everything is coming in, if everybody's good. I see all the Freddies here in the live chat. Chico Marcelino, DJ Natural Fire, Bruno Gil Rodrigues, Nuno M, Mr. J, Justin Aragão, Kevin Cordeiro, Mike Madeira, Michael Machado, Diogo Reis, Nick Valadão. What's happening, everybody? Everybody's good. Sound is good. Picture's good. We're ready to go. I didn't tell you this, Dave, because we were busy. I was busy setting it up, but my eye, if you notice my eye, my left eye is red. Yeah. So unfortunately I had a little bit of an accident this weekend. Somebody hit my car and the side door airbags deployed and it hit my face and it created a little abrasion in my eye, but everybody's good. Everybody's healthy. Just myself and my wife in the car. We were going to the Gypsy Kings concert, Dave. Can you believe it?
Oh, they were in Toronto. They were in Toronto past Friday night, so they must be doing the tour around.
Yeah, we were on our way to the concert Sunday night. We're on way 5 minutes away from the house, and a guy just ran a stop, and hit me, and spun me around, and I stopped facing in the same direction that I was coming from. But anyway, just wanted to explain, just in case you guys are looking and saying my eye looks pretty bad. So, Benfiquista eye, that's right, Flavio. Welcome. Carlos Amaro's here. Carlos, been a while. Thank you, brother. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. No Chris tonight, but me and Dave are here. That's all that matters. Dave, how you been? Any accidents round your way?
No accidents. I can't top you on that one. Good to hear that you and the wife are on the mend here.
Yeah.
And, scary stuff. We take little things here for granted. And
absolutely.
Accidents can happen at any moment. But yeah. Good to see that you guys are okay. And yeah, luckily it was just an eye. I thought you got pink eye at first. I thought maybe Cristiano farted on your pillow and then his... His suspension was one suspension off from the
that's right. The it was one night off the podcast. No, unfortunately, because of personal reasons, Cristiano can't join us today. But like I said, it's me and Dave. Dave, before we get going, how about those Maple Leafs?
Yeah, they already lost the first game of the next series.
But at least you won a series. What was it? 20-something years?
19 years that they hadn't won gotten past the first round. of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah, that's awesome. Big ups to all our Maple Leafs fans and all our Canadian fans. I know that there's a lot of Canadians that listen to this podcast. So big ups, even though they're blue, you know. I know I cheer for them because by proxy, I know that Dave is a big fan. My team is the Devils, actually. So, and I'm not a bandwagon
and
jumper.
And now
I'm not a bandwagon jumper.
And now Cristiano's not here, right?
Cristiano's not here. That's right.
After that, the Devils pull off their comeback here. Cristiano's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, but look, and we like to do a little filler talk before we actually get into the meat and potatoes of the podcast, and that's just to give a chance for people to come in and join the chat and say hello, good night, everything is good. So now let's get it right into this podcast tonight on Tonight's Tap. Gilles Vicente recap and big game, big game against Braga coming up this Saturday, and we'll get into that. So let's get into this Gilles Vicente games. Vlaco Dimus was in goal, Austin Silva, Otamendi, Grimaldo, Tino, and João Neves, João Mário, Neres, Rafa behind Ramos. Dave, surprised at all that this bot was available, but Roger Schmidt decided to go with Auschwitz?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised, especially how the pre-match interviews went. It made it easy. He at least advised that Ba was available. And then, not to get too ahead of ourselves, but just looking here, we have, what, 5-6 defenders on the bench here. We got Gilberto, we got Ba, Verissimo, Moratu, and Ristich, who, God, he hasn't seen the light of day. I don't know the last time we see him even appear on the bench, but Schmidt chooses an all-defensive lineup on the bench there. But, yeah, I mean,
Dave, it's just in case we needed to ratchet up that 1-0 skinny lead. We had all defenders. We could go six in a back.
Six in the back, and I guess we had those guys that were on at the risk of getting another yellow card and being suspended for the Braga match that's coming up. So maybe that's why he brought in a Ristich for Grimaldo. But I mean, these guys didn't even end up seeing the light of day. Not to get too ahead of ourselves here, but I guess maybe they're just trying to ease Bob back into it. I know he kind of made his recovery ahead of schedule here, so.
Yeah,
Arshnis didn't look bad in the first game that he played in that position, so why not keep him there and give Ba some extra rest here leading up into the Braga game?
Yeah, Arshnis is that old reliable guy, you know. That's what Arshnis does. He's like a Swiss Army knife, or a Danish Army knife, or Norwegian Army knife, whatever. He's Scandinavian Army knife. You know, but he's a guy that is that offers tremendous flexibility. He may not be a guy that is 100% a defender and could defend, but certainly going forward, he offers a lot. But I still think that he does best in the midfield. And we saw things when the changes were made, and he came to the midfield. Things started happening for us. 0-0 at the end of the half. Gilles Vicente with a high line, forcing Benfica to go long. And when Benfica went long, there was an offside trap waiting for Benfica until Benfica figured out what was going on. But, you know, look, I have to praise Gilles Vicente because they're a team that, despite not really playing for anything right now, I think they're pretty much safe. They came to play. They had a very well organized plan. I thought they executed, but I think they felt that sooner or later they were gonna risk themselves. It was either they were just gonna be pushed into their own half and be forced to defend in their own half, or raise up your lines, step up, compress the space in which the team was playing, and force Benfica to play long balls. And then they had fast defenders that could chase those balls. They had a keeper also that could come out of the box. So it was a good plan. It was a good plan to be on top of Benfica and not allow Benfica to construct from the back and then into the midfield, finding those pockets of space in between lines for Benfica's players. And I thought they did pretty good. It was a good strategy. Good first half by Rafa. We hadn't seen the first half by Rafa like that in a long time.
I'm still indifferent. The decision making or the lack of decision making on his end is just frustrating. When he needs to make a pass, he takes the shot, or he just holds on to the ball way too long. There's still more that you want to see from Rafa, because we know what we've seen in the past from him. He's getting there, and maybe this is something that's leading up to a big finale here for Rafa, because God knows we want it from him, and he needs to show up in these last stretch of games here. But I'm still wanting more from him. Step him in the right direction, but still wanting a little bit more from him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and I think, look, for us that watch. I watch a lot of American sports, and we hear about slumps, and especially in baseball, when you hear that guys are slumping, that slump is bound to end at some point. And I think that's what Roger Schmidt has in his mind, that even if we don't have a Rafa at 100% or at the best form, Rafa with a sprint is able to create some danger, regardless of what he does with the ball in the final third, whether it's a shitty pass or a all crooked shot. It's that speed, and we say it all here all the time, can't teach speed. So maybe we're seeing a little bit of Rafa on the emerging here. And I think, like you said, it will be good for Benfica, especially in this final stretch. The same thing happened with Neres. I don't know if you remember, Dave. But Neres went through a bad period of form, which earned him some time on the bench. And then he slowly got back to the point that now it's like, why isn't Neres starting? Because he's clearly our most dangerous player. So
yeah, for sure. And he even had a good opportunity here. I know we really kind of recapped the first half there, but he had a great opportunity there to score a goal.
The 1v1, 1v1 in the 38th minute. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you could have even passed that off to Ramos which would have been a tap-in.
He could have, but I think that once you get, and I try to put myself in a player's shoes. Like, once you get released like that and you're 1v1 with the goal, I don't think you're looking anywhere. You just, the first thing you want to look is how is the goalie positioned and how is the goalie coming out of his goal. So you can more or less plan what you're going to do with the ball. And I think the last thing that he has in mind, especially for a player like Neres. Now, if you got a player like Rafa, maybe he's looking to the other side because he might not know what to do with the ball in that final third. Or even Darwin. Remember when Darwin was low in confidence? He would pass it off. When he should take the shots, he would pass it off. So yeah, but I don't think he was ever looking to pass that off, to dish that off. We also had another chance by Tino, but, you know, what can you expect from Florentino?
Mm-hmm.
Not much. And it's the second time that he's had, like, an open look on net inside, I would say, probably between the six and the penalty, and he just can't put it away. He just shanks the ball.
He lacked power on this particular
he hit
shot.
It he hit it against the ground.
Yeah, and it kind of just, if I'm trying to remember, it kind of like floated in there because it hit the ground. It didn't get that power that it should have on that shot. And the keeper controlled it, but gave up a little bit of a rebound. And I think it was Neres there that almost put away the rebound on that shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Too. But yeah, those were pretty much our only chances there from the first half.
Yeah, not a lot.
Other than the two goals that were called back due to the offside.
The offside trap
we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And Carlos mentioned here, once you don't score within those first 18 minutes or so, you start or score within the first 6 minutes, the butt-clenching marathon starts. And look, I think that's where Benfica is these days mentally, where they're not the confident team that we've seen them in months past or in games past. I think that any little thing, I think the team starts to get nervous. And I think this final stretch, I think the team is is I see the team very nervous in this final stretch, especially after losing those three games in a row that Benfica lost. I think that the team lost a lot of confidence and they started feeling the pressure of the championship. I think when you played the way you played in Milan, you had that tie, you come back to refocus on your domestic competitions. I think that a huge burden was lifted off the team's weight. A huge weight was lifted off the team's shoulders, losing that fixture against Milan and not have to play again for the Champions League. So it allowed the team to have some rest to kind of refocus their attention on domestic competition. But I do think that the team is feeling it. When the team sees the fans that are waiting for them at every single game, I think that right now, yes, they feel the support, but that's also, I think it's a huge burden, right? Because they've shown what they could do throughout the season, their potential, and I think that a lot of fans, myself included, believed that this team was going to go all the way, and now they went from 10 points to 4 points. The team is feeling some pressure. I have to feel and imagine that the team is feeling some pressure. I don't know if that's, as you see this team play, Dave, what do you see? Is it lack of confidence? Is it nerves? It's
definitely pressure, and I think they've lost a little bit of their swagger, if we're going to use that term. And going back to that Nedej 1v1, I think back earlier in the season where I think there's no pressure, where he could probably look up, see who he's got around him, and then make that drop-off pass for Ramos to tap it in, where now there's so much pressure on, we need to get that goal, we need to get that goal and build a lead here, where it's tunnel vision. He sees the goalie, he knows he's going to just try to take that shot, where in the past, I think they don't have that pressure. They have a little bit of swagger. They can look up, take some time and drop off that pass. And I think that's where we're seeing now a lot of these chances that aren't being missed, or chances that die with either players making a shot when they should make a pass, or vice versa, is they've got that pressure and they're not necessarily taking that time or have that luxury to take that time to look around it and make the right decision on those opportunities.
Yeah, let me give you some halfway or halftime stats. Benfica with 12 shots, 4 of them on goal, 21 actions in the opponent's area, 6 corners, 87% pass efficiency, 77% on vertical pass efficiency, defensive actions in the opponent's midfield, 12, 3 fouls, 58% possession. So Benfica with possession, more shots, but none of those shots, I mean, only a third of those shots were on goal. So you got to think that the Nedej one, which was a save, right? The Tino one, which was a save also. I can't think of many others. But yeah, I mean, look, I'm looking at these guys on the chat, and they're talking about Musa, and they're talking about Tengsted. Tengsted?
Yeah, Tengsted. But he's been an MIA. He hasn't even been.
Yeah,
with the B team,
He didn't make it. He wasn't on the roster, and it was strange because we had all those defenders, but no Tengsted. It was kind of strange, and we felt that he was saving him for the B team, but I guess not. But some guys were saying, yeah, Gedge and Musa. I think that at this point, I think that, yeah, I agree with you guys in the chat that Musa should be getting more minutes. The amount of time that Musa has in terms of how much he needs to score a goal is unbelievable. And he's our most used sub, if I'm not mistaken, Dave. But yeah, again, 0-0 into the half. Gil Vicente holding their own. Benfica needed to do something, came out. Didn't do the substitutions right away, but in the 62nd minute, Guedes came in for João Mário, who has also been having an awful, awful past month. Gilberto came in from Neres, and this what happened. And it's, there's another thing, right? When you expect Rafa to be pulled, he pulls Neres. I don't get it. And maybe Neres
He's been doing that the last two, three games too, right?
Yeah. And so what happened was with Gilberto coming in, Auschwitz then came into the right side where João Mário was, and Guedes went to to the left side where Neres was. In the 72nd minute, Dave, 72nd minute, he's making more subs. Musa came in for Hums, Chiquinho came in for Tino. You know, and then from there, things started happening. Call it what you will. Chiquinho, Chicão, Chicote, I don't know.
The legend continues.
The legend continues. I think that Dio Reis were saying 10 minutes into the podcast and we haven't spoken about Chicão yet, or Chiquinho. But look, I think that, to me, the biggest thing, right? The biggest thing is trying new things, which is something that Roger Schmidt is not really trying. And look, you look at these substitutions, he didn't really change much, right? He changed one thing. He moved Auschwitz into the midfield in place of João Mário, who has been horrible, as I mentioned. But he put Guedes in for Neres, basically he refreshed that position, and Auschwitz came in. Gilberto, you know, obviously for right back, and Auschwitz came into João Mário. Then in the 72nd minute, more refreshing, right? Musa for Hamsh, Chiquinho for Tino. And it just basically is not changing much, but I do think that Auschwitz playing in João Mário's position was really, really beneficial for Benfica, especially because he was the one that provided the assist for Chiquinho in the 73rd minute. And I think that all of us were already fearing the worst until that goal came. And it's one of those things that I think that Roger Schmidt needs to try different things. I think that teams at this point know where we're about. And if the team is not sharp, and if the team is not playing with intensity and pass speed, teams are going to be able to defend against us.
Yeah, not only just the team itself, individual players, right? Like you mentioned, João Mário, we've ragged on Rafa. He's looks like, knock on wood, he looks like he's on the up and up here, but I don't think we can say the same thing for João Mário right now. Even Gonçalo Ramos looks a little bit snake bitten right now. I don't know if he's fighting through any injuries or if he's just fatigued, but he does not look like his clinical self that we're used to seeing. And not to get too ahead of ourselves, because we'll preview the Braga game, but I would really like to see if he makes some changes, especially if Ba is 100% healthy to start that game against Braga. If he does look at making some changes in that midfield and along the top there, but
yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the Braga in a little bit. But I just wanted to say, Nick Valadão is saying here that Neves has been a bright spot, and yeah, absolutely. I think that at 18 years old, he looks confident. He passes the ball with speed, drives passes. He doesn't hang passes. He's like a little worker ant with feet, which is the different from Tino, right? Tino is the worker ant, but he doesn't have the feet to place passes, to make passes, or even a little bit of the vision to find guys. And that was a lot of passes that João Neves made, and actually Goalpoint had him as the best player on the field. 94 pass efficiency, 7 progressive passes, 8 long passes, 7 of them completed, 4 fouled times, and 5 tackles. That's quite impressive, man. That's quite impressive for an 18-year-old kid who is just making his second start. I'm impressed by him. I think that he still has a while to go. But right now, I think that he plays it very safe. He doesn't try to make up shit. Just plays the simple ball. Knows where players are. Knows where to find players. And look, when you have a player like that, once he starts getting a feel for the game and getting in touch and being acclimated to the speed of the game, because that's the most important thing for young players, is to know the speed, know how much time you have with the ball before you release, so you don't get caught. And it's the most important thing is finding those timings because of the speed of the game. And I think that João Neves is doing an excellent job at that. So
I think the greatest compliment I could give him is that he just makes it look easy.
Yeah.
Almost. For somebody his age, stepping into the senior squad at 18 years old, you wouldn't even know that he was 18 years old. If you said, one of these guys here is 18 years old, pick which one looks like they're 18 years old. Based on looks you could, but based on play, he looks like he's been there for 3-4 years already, and he's making it look easy. So I only hope that he continues to grow, and he's so far I'm liking what I'm seeing from João Neves.
Yeah, no, it's very encouraging. And look, well, we're worried about that eight. Maybe that eight has been there all this time. I was talking to Steve Santos, and Steve Santos was saying that it reminds him a little bit of Xavi at Barcelona. So, but I mean, still got a way to go to get there. But certainly, you know, the style and the one touch and the combinations and finding those little pockets of space and finding those passes, it's encouraging, man. Grimaldo converted on a PK, obvious PK, or obvious. let's rewind that, right? I don't think what they called was as obvious as the Otamendi one. Otamendi, yes, completely got dragged, held on the same play, I think, right? On the same play.
Same run of play,
right?
Just a little bit after the one that they called back.
Yeah, but it's the handball, and I've seen handballs not being called like that. But yeah, the referee Fabio Verissimo clearly gestured that the hand was up, and the ball hit the hand, so he called it. But regardless, if he hadn't called that one, he would have had to call the Otamendi one. Grimaldo called to, as I mentioned, Grimaldo converted. It's about time that we don't have João Mário and we have to freaking bite our nails guessing whether or not he's going to convert it. Finally, somebody else to convert PKs, and he put it away. And I think at that point, I think the Benfiquista nation was able to kind of let out a collective breath out. You know, it was good. What were you feeling, Dave?
Yeah, especially after that PK goal, it was a little bit more relaxed nerves. And I think the team felt it too, because even after that goal, Musa had a one-on-one chance with the keeper, and he did everything right and chipped the keeper, but hit the crossbar there. So it could have even been a 3-0 score line there. But there's just a little example there too. Once you have that two goal cushion, you don't have that pressure. They start playing with their swagger and trying to chip the keeper, and it didn't work for him on that play. But yeah, Everything up to that build up looked fantastic.
Yeah, in typical Tougon fashion, you got to have two penalties in the same run of plays to get at least one call. Thanks for that, Diogo Reis. Two PKs for the price of one. Yeah, absolutely. But look, I think that the subs made an impact, and Roger Schmidt has to be able to be a little bit more resolute in terms of understanding that players are underperforming, and that there's other players that, when they've been called on, have performed well, i.e. Musa. You know, so I think that maybe the way forward is to make sure that you're playing with the players that are in the best form. And you hear coaches all the time, I play the players that are that are the best at their best right now. And when you look at Ramos, he's not at his best. When you look at João Mário, he's not at his best. You can look at Rafa, he's not as at his best. You can even make an argument for Otamendi that Otamendi hasn't been the same in quite some time. But you know, Otamendi wouldn't be a guy that I would look to sub. But certainly, I think that João Mário, and we'll talk about it in the preview of the Braga game. I think that João Mário would deserve a sit for me, and perhaps Rafa too, and or Ramos. Ramos and João Mário to me would be two candidates. But anyway, I think that Roger Schmidt has to be less stubborn and really play the players that are in good form. And right now, I think that Musa has done enough to warrant more time, not just come in with 10 minutes left or 15 minutes left. I think he's earned that. He's earned that spot from what he's how he's been able to perform. So I just hope that Roger Schmidt turns that around or is able to get rid of that idea of being so stubborn and always playing the guys and insisting on the same guys despite them underperforming. And look, I think that when he gets together with his technical staff, it's impossible that the technical staff is not pointing things out to him in terms of what Rafa's doing, what João Mário is doing, what Ramos is doing. I mean, these guys are looking to lots and lots of data. And if they're not able to make a determination that these guys are subpar at the moment and other guys need to come in, then I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say because that's what these guys get paid for. And if they're not making the right moves, I don't understand. Dave.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if we go to the drastic move of starting Musa. But definitely, he's earned. If it's not clicking by with Ramos by the 60th minute, we can't afford to wait and not make that decision.
Yeah.
Earlier, so definitely I have more trust in Musa from what I've seen recently to give him some more minutes rather than just in the 89th.
Yeah, he's a guy that is not only a box player, and maybe those are the limitations that Roger Schmidt sees, that he needs somebody that's more flexible, that could come out the box, that can combine with guys that could receive the ball on one of the wings. Maybe that's what he sees in Ramos that Musa doesn't have. But I think that when Musa comes deep to get the ball and to combine, he does very well to hold the ball and he does well to find a pass. And I think that he's definitely improved when it comes to that. And then in terms of the moves that he makes towards goal. I mean, that goal against, Sturil that got called back. I think that move that he did, he was offside. Yeah. And then you got the chip in this game that, you know, it was just by an inch. He could have made that. But certainly, yeah, earn more minutes for sure. Dave, stats so we can move on.
Yes, that's Shikingu's first goal scored in league competition this season with that header that he scored. And Grimaldo with his first goal from the penalty spot as a Benfica player. So he's got 10 goals from set pieces in his Benfica career, 9 from the free kick, and now 1 as from the penalty spot there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So next up, you got Braga. Game comes up this Saturday, right, Dave?
This Saturday,
8:30. So 3:30 here, East Coast in the United States, or if you're in Toronto, that works also. Big game, as I mentioned before. I think this is for me, right? And because of the context, also, right? And I don't mean to mention the obvious, right? But this, to me, is the game of the season. And I'll tell you why. To me, this is the game of the season because if you beat Braga, you can afford to go in Alvalade and get a derby result. And what does that mean when I say a derby result? It's a result that can happen in a derby. Regardless of what team is performing better or not, derbies are always a crapshoot in terms of what team is going to win, because of all the motivation attached to it, because of all the factors attached to it, because of the rivalry. So I think that if Benfica can finally beat Braga, because the past couple times that we have we've met Braga, we have lost and tied, or lost twice, one of them in PKs. But certainly this is the game of the season, because I think that if we beat Braga, we got that little bit of cushion that we could give up on the derby. And then we can clinch it against Santa Clara in the final game. Dave, what do you think, man?
Yeah, you mentioned there, like, our recent stats against Braga haven't been well. And we've only won twice out of our last nine meetings with Braga. Two wins, one draw, and six losses. The draw there being in that PK Portuguese toss that we got eliminated in PKs. But, yeah, our recent spell against Braga hasn't been well. After we had, it seems like we go through these ebbs and flows with Braga. We'll beat them 10 in a row, and then they'll come and have our number there. And right now, just in recent history, they seem to have our number these last couple of years. But what a perfect time to put an end to that. And we have it up on Saturday here. Get the all-important victory, because we still have a couple of some tough games here. I know you mentioned Sporting. We got to go play Porto B down in Algarve too, and I'm sure the off-the-field antics will be in full force.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
That game too. So if we can take care of business at home against Braga, which I'm full and expecting. I'm expecting to see a motivated team, a team that's clicking on all cylinders, and I think we come out of this with a large margin of victory. I'm thinking 3-0 against Braga. Maybe if I'm feeling generous, Braga gets in a goal there, but at least Benfica scoring at least three against Braga on Saturday.
Three? Oh, that's three. You're really confident.
Full pow.
Yeah, look, I think that the team has to realize that this is the game of the season. This is the game of the season. So,
because technically Braga is still in the race too.
Yeah, they're 7 points? 7 points? Is it, Dave?
Six, maybe?
6 points?
I think they're only two back of Porto, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, let me see. They got 66. We got 71. So quick math, that's five.
That's five, yeah. So, yeah. But look, this is the game. This is the game. If Benfica doesn't win the game, doesn't win this game, I think that we are going to be in trouble. Because I think that the team is feeling the pressure. You go into the Alvalade. This is going to be Sporting's championship. If Sporting beats Benfica and they prevent Benfica from winning the title, this is going to be as good for them as a championship. So if we could beat Braga and have those 3 points to spare, whether we come out with a win, with a tie, or a loss of Alvalade, we still have those 3 points, right? But I know that the trip to Portimonense is not going to be, it's not going to be easy. But then finishing up against Santa Clara at home should be favorable against a Santa Clara team who is technically possibly going to be relegated or play in the playoff. But certainly
only 16 points right now.
To me, is this Braga game as important as any game this season? And if Benfica needs a chance or wants a chance to win this title, it's going to have to go through a win in Estádio da Luz on Saturday against Braga. None of the players that were in danger of missing this game as a result of yellow card accumulation were yellowed, so they will all be available. I think that's three out of the four in the back line. Silva, Otamendi, and Grimaldo were all in risk of missing out this Braga game, and they were able to get away scot-free with the game against Gil Vicente. What do you guys in the chat think about this Braga game? Well, what are your opinions? I give you a little bit of time, and then I'll read some comments here. But to me, this is the game that Benfica needs to win. If Benfica doesn't win this game, it's going to be tough. So let's see here. Nick Valadon says Sporting will be motivated in general since they wouldn't want us to celebrate winning the championship in their stadium. Yep, valid point. Valid point, because if Benfica beats Braga and they beat Portimonense and they beat Sporting, that's the clincher right there. Nuno M, 4-0 Benfica, let's go. Reigning Entertainment thanks Porto as mafioso. What made you think that, man? SLBEES, relying on a win at Sporting would be way too risky. Yeah, 100%. I believe that. We cannot be counting on those points at the Alvalade. That's why we need to grab these points against Braga. Carl Zamaro says Benfica will be ready for this one. I've never been this convinced. From your mouth to the soccer god's ears. Brunte Teixeira, at home we need to win to show we want it. Absolutely. Michael Machado, we have to put ourselves in the driver's seat from the start. Yeah, we are in the driver's seat now, but against Braga, we need to take the game to Braga. Because Braga has been doing pretty well. I don't think they've lost a game in how many games, Dave? Do you know? Braga's been undefeated for quite some time.
They dropped points against Nacional. Oh, that was for the Taça. So in the league here, they only dropped points against Porto, and then
that was a while ago, loss, no?
Yeah, March 19th, and then they lost to Guimarães in February, and that was the last time they dropped or they lost in the league. So
yeah,
they've gone. Let's see here, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 wins, 1 draw during that spell.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about this Braga team is that they're gonna need to come out and play if they want to win. And I think that bodes well for Benfica when teams want to come out and play at Estádio da Luz. That bodes well. But you know, the thing that amazes me the most, and not to get it here on a tangent, is all the things that we've seen in terms of all the refereeing mistakes benefiting Porto. We saw another one this weekend with the referee ending the game while the opposing team was inside Porto's box. The player was about to cross the ball, and they called the game. So all of these things we've seen, these made up penalties and calls that favor Porto and lack of red cards, whatnot. The thing that puzzles me the most is how Braga has been so quiet publicly. Because this is affecting them also. Unless they want to get those 500,000 euros for David Carmo every time Porto wins the championship for the next 2 or 3 years, they get 500,000 euros for David Carmo. That was in the contract. That was in the clause. So maybe they're rooting for Porto to win. I don't know.
I guess if they had to choose a side, there's one team paying them.
That's right.
And there's incentive. And
it's paid. It's documented they'll be paying them. DJ Natural Fire says we need a miracle. Michael Machado says we need to score first, dominate possession. Reigning Entertainment says, remember the Tetris team? They were killers. That happened to us. Yep. The fans have to bring the Inferno Deluge. They need to be
foot
behind the team. And look, if there's anything that the team can't complain about, it's been the support. This whole thing in Barcelos against Gil Vicente, right? It was a mini Estádio da Luz. If you guys watched it, right? The biggest thing was that Gil Vicente, they got smart. They figured out, hey, we're going to raise the prices. We're going to open it to all the Benfiquistas that want to come and sit in the regular fans' seats, whatever. And they, you know, they made bank. They made bank. Michael Machado says can't wait for this one Neves Pizzi matchup. I don't know if Pizzi is starting for them. He has been featuring, but I think it might be off the bench. Reigning Entertainment, their fans were cheering for the title in the last game. DJ Natural Fire. Somebody kick him out. I think we lose to Braga. Come on, man. I don't need any more suffering. Brunjul Rodriguez Benfica has to start the game with attitude to show Braga who's boss. 100%. We're playing in our house. Carl Zamaro, I'm not convinced Braga comes out willing to make this a game. They know we want it more than they do. Yeah, but if Braga is to have any aspirations to get to that second place, they need to win. And understanding that Porto has all of these games from now until the end of the season, that there's a possibility that their tiredness is going to catch up to him and they're going to be caught by a team that they're going to play, whether it's Famalicão or any of the team. You know, Braga needs to be consistent. See what else. Glenn Gomes, when Braga tried V Fiorentina, they got spanked, so we have to hope for the same. Yeah, I think that any team that comes to Stadio Luz that wants to play open, that wants to look us eye to eye, I think they're gonna suffer. Especially if Benfica is firing all cylinders. Bruno Teixeira, above all, we need to show we deserve it. 100%, man. Our away fans are awesome, says Reigning Entertainment. Yeah, I mean, we've often said here, and look, Cristiano and I are friends with a couple guys that belong to the no name, and the things that they've always said to us is that the away games, they got a lot more pleasure from away games than they do from games at Stade de Luz. Braga does not have a championship, Reigning Entertainment. Their locker room talk is going to be nuts, says Reigning Entertainment. We lose this game, we don't deserve to win the title, says Diogo Reis. Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
So getting back to my point that I was going to make earlier, I would not have João Mário starting this game.
Yeah.
If Baez is 100% healthy, I would slide Arshness back into the midfield role for João Mário, leave Neres there. If you want to leave Rafa behind Gonzalo Ramos, but definitely I wouldn't take Arshness out. Wouldn't take Arshness out. I'd slide him up to João Mário's position. If I know we just praised the João Neves, but I think we got to put Chiquinho back there in the midfielder, in that midfield position with Florentino in this match here against Braga, at least to start the game. If it's not clicking, then you bring in Neves off the bench. But those would be the two changes I make if Baez is 100% ready to go.
Yeah, the two changes that I would make would be would definitely Auschwitz for João Mário, with Ba slotting in at right back. And, you know, this is 2 weeks now without an official game. After he's been back, it's going to be a full week. So I think he should be ready to go, and I would go with Auschwitz on the right instead of João Mário. And I would I don't know if I want to touch the middle, but here's the thing. I think that João Neves' inexperience may hurt us against Braga. So in a way, I kind of agree with you with Chiquinho and Tino, but I hate to say Chiquinho, man. But I just think that the tandem between Neves and Florentino is going to be overrun by a Braga that's really, really strong in that part of the pitch. So I think that Roger Schmidt has to do something in order to beef up that midfield, that central area of the midfield, so we don't get beat. The first time against Braga, and I know that's a game that you could throw away as and kind of explain as Benfica underperforming, but certainly Braga was beating us to every single ball and every second ball. And a lot of that was because they had a lot more guys in the midfield than we did, and we were just overrun. So I don't know if Schmidt's thinking about that, and I don't know if he's going to change something up, if he's going to go Auschwitz to the left, so and Dromari to the right, so Auschwitz can kind of compensate in the middle, can become the third guy in the middle. I don't know. My guess is as good as anyone else's, but I think I don't know. I think at the end of the day, we'll probably see something very similar to what you said. Chiquinho and Florentino, João Mário. I think that Neres has to play. Neres, Rafa, and Ramos. I don't know, Dave. It's going to be difficult. I think that, look, I think it's good when you have options, albeit, you know, the options being Chiquinho. But certainly, you got Guedes off the bench. You got Musa off the bench. Those are the guys that you could put in. And I think that Chiquinho is a good utility player, that he could come in and kind of understand what's going on with the game and have a better read in the game from the outside when he's being put in rather than being there from the onset. And I just think that, I don't know.
I think the one good thing of these last few weeks with Neves getting more and more playing time and getting starts is that at least I would hope that he's shown Roger Schmidt that he can be counted on. And he's built a little bit of trust with Roger. So if Roger does end up going back to a Chiquinho-Tinu tandem there in the middle and it's not working out, like we've said here, by the 55th or 60th minute, he can make that change and put in Neves to bring some sort of spark or creativity, where before he was only being counted to be a minute man, right? The joke here for the longest time, he was only getting a minute of action coming off the bench. So I think he's built enough, I would hope he's built enough trust and he's shown Roger Schmidt that he can be counted on. So if he doesn't get this start and things aren't going well, I think Roger should make that substitution quicker in the match rather than leaving it to the 80-plus or 90-plus minute.
Yeah, if he's going to go with the same lineup, I would expect that he has to pull the trigger a lot sooner to correct what he was possibly thinking in terms of lining up. Let me read some comments here. Carlos Amaro says, from a leverage standpoint, they can bank on us being the ones to extend tactically. As an avid chess player, this is their bank. So yeah, you know, I don't know. Reigning entertainment, out cheering Dortmund fans, I get the chills. DJ Natural Fire, if you have to play super top notch from the first whistle to control the game. Auschwitz, Reigning Entertainment says Auschwitz is the silent ninja. You know what Auschwitz reminds me of? Like in an old country, when you stay with your grandparents or your uncles, he's that uncle that you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and he's already done 50 million chores before you got up. That's what Auschwitz reminds me of, that uncle, that uncle with the enxada, the labrador. He's already watered the plants, fed the cows, you know, fed the pigs, mowed the lawn, and you're still sleeping, and it's 8:30, wake up, and he's already, half of his day is already done. Brunte shit is Dave from Canada? Yes, he is. He's from, Dave is in the Toronto area. Reigning Entertainment, Tino looks like he's lost his feet recently, though. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Tino's ever had feet. Tino's strong suit has always been that cover space and zones and close off passing lanes and be quicker to balls than guys and do like nice little tackles. That's always been his thing. Nick Valadon says Tino hasn't been the same since Enzo left. Yeah, I don't think the team has been the same since Enzo left. Diogo Reis Braga, no joke. They are a better team than Porto, maybe even Sporting, and they're playing like it recently. They're lighting up teams. Yeah, I agree. Nuno M. Al-Muzrati is a beast. That's the one guy that concerns me. I said that last part. Yeah, Muzrati concerns me. Reigning Entertainment, our counter attack defense has been sloppy. Brunte Shiri, imagine Auschwitz playing behind Ramos or Musa. I think he could be great there too. He could be good anywhere. I think he would even be a better keeper than Vlatko Dimush, at least with his feet.
Put him in to save the penalties.
Possibly. What about Neves and Chiquinho? Yeah, that's a good shout too. And we saw that when Chiquinho came in. It was Neves and Chiquinho. I just think that that center midfield battle is going to be key. And I think whoever wins that is going to win the game, to me. SLBEES, Chiquinho also has a lot of fire and nonstop intensity. I don't know, maybe a little bit silent fire. I don't know, it doesn't seem like a guy that's extremely intense, but he's a guy that is out there, gives it his all. Let's see. Carl Zamaro, he's seen enough of the kid now to know if he can count on him. Yeah, I agree. As a coach, you're always reminded that what they show you in practice during the late grind is what they'll show in the game. Yeah. He's talking about Neves, by the way. Yeah. Yeah, Reigning Entertainment. Yeah, that's exactly it. He's done all the work, and you're just getting up, getting breakfast. And your tio has already done all the work. And he's got that head ten, like a farmer, right? He has like a farmer's head ten. Let's see. Love the Canadian accent, by the way. Brunte Schitter. Yeah, look, it's an important game, man. So, Dave, you're saying 3-0?
I'm saying 3-0. Possibly 3-1, but Benfica scores at least 3 goals.
I'm saying
it's been baby steps. We got 1-0, one goal against Estoril. We got 2 goals last weekend, so now we're making the jump to 3 goals here.
Yeah, Glenn Gomes. It seems that every week there's a headline about a player that is about to play Benfica or is about to play Porto that's been in talks with Porto. That's the MO. We're used to those tricks. We know how those things work, you know.
So it's Muzerati this week.
It might be, but if Benfica couldn't afford Muzerati, I doubt Porto is ever going to be able to afford Muzerati. I don't think Porto would be able to afford any Braga player, to be honest with you. Man, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel here. We're talking about the Fran Navarro. Not that he's not a good player, but Gil Vicente guy. We're talking about who is the other guy that they just played that committed a foul for them. I forget who he was. The guy from Chaves, the guy with the funny haircut. I don't know who he was. The guy that used to play for Famalicão. I forget who he was. But yeah, that was the latest rumor, was that he was going. Nick Villadon said, I call it a dominant 2-0. Performance. Brunta Shira. Yeah, man, let's 3-0. Diogo Reis says 1-1. So, that's that. That's all we got, Dave. That's all I got. 59 minutes. Cristiano's not here. Beautiful thing. I would love to keep you guys company in the chat, but we have to go. Dave, always a pleasure, my friend.
Always good, guys. Let's see. Hopefully positive vibes going into this weekend, and we don't need a therapy session next weekend. We'll be closer to achieving the goal, so positive vibes.
Dave, what do you imagine the Benfiquista psyche to be if we lose this game against Braga?
And all of a sudden, it's done.
It's 1-0.
It's done. It's done.
It's done.
Fire Roger Schmidt. We don't even make it to the Sporting match with our destiny in our hands, because I feel like if we lose this game, then we lose points in the Algarve. It's done. We're done for.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. I can't possibly imagine us not winning this game, because if we don't win it, it's going to be... I hate suffering till the end, man. I hate when Benfica does this to me. I don't like it. It's not good. It's not good for the emotions. It's not good for the heart. So...
We lost that luxury of having a 10-point...
10 fucking points, man.
Evaporated.
Oof.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that Reigning Entertainment fans would turn against each other, Jorge Jesus and all. Yeah, I can't imagine Benfica losing this game. They cannot lose this game. This is the championship game. This is the game of the season with the context. All right, everyone. Take care. Later, Dave.